Luke 1. We finally finished verse 71. That we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant. Perform the mercy.
What number are you on?
Huh?
I can't find the word.
72%. Okay. To perform is this incredible word that means to carry out a thing correctly and at the perfect time. There's nothing about the timing of God that meets our understanding, no matter what it is. And that's the reason that we must understand what waiting on him means. That you can be assured he will perform the necessary thing at the necessary time, but it will never be according to your understanding. And that's just not right. But the reason for that is because through over and over again seeing it, that you would learn to wait only on him. And it just doesn't seem ever right to me, anyway. Let's look at a couple places. Let's look at Revelation. Well, let's stay in Luke. Let's go to Luke 8.
Just think of it. If it weren't that way, faith wouldn't even be a word, hardly. You know,
it's almost like being by faith instead of doing by reason.
Yeah. Now, that's why that's another reason the prosperity gospel is so evil. I want to show you. Before we go to Luke, let's go to Hebrews 11.
While we're going there, just thinking, if this were taken literally, God's a big failure. But just a couple thousand years ago, there's no evidence that all this has happened on the outside.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. About 20 years ago, Kenneth Hagin at Rhema Bible Institute in Tulsa, or Rhema Bible College, whatever it's called, he did a teaching called Now Faith. And in his teaching, it was this whole thing about what you speak, it's what happens, what you imagine takes place. And so the emphasis was on the word now. So if you're not getting what you've asked for now, it's because you haven't understood now faith. And that has spread throughout all of the charismatic and prosperity gospel movement. And you hear Copeland teaching on it all the time. Now faith. It's now faith that we have. It It's now faith that we want. And it's just the opposite of the meaning of the of what the word means. Now is just a conjunction here. But anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that. Back to Luke 8.
Yeah, that does just annihilate the word faith. There's no faith in now faith. There's no waiting.
And the evilness of it is if it doesn't happen, it's always your fault.
Where did we go?
Chapter 8, Luke, verse 4. And when much people were gathered together, they were come to him out of every city, and he spake a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Now, verse 8 is the where this perform word, porio, is used. But it's the word here for sprung up. And others fell on good ground and sprung up. Now, and that's explained in verse 15, but on that on good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringeth forth fruit with patience. And there bringeth forth is the word, porio. So the appropriate action, hey, you've heard me talk about this before, but the first time I can remember, I couldn't have been more than five, and my mother always planted a garden. My mother and dad. My dad dug it up, and she planted stuff. And so my mother was teaching me about gardening, and so she let me plant watermelons. And of course, I'd go out and look every day. Nothing was there. And so I went and dug up the seeds to see what was wrong with them. Does that sound familiar to any of you?
Right in the book here.
Now the seed has to fall into the ground and die in order to that bring forth fruit. Except, you get the idea. Let's go to Luke 13.
Not to be trivial, but did you actually find something? Do you remember?
Yeah, rotten seed.
Did you?
Is that air conditioning on? Verse 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, "Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground?" And he answering said unto him, "Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." So that the reason this is important when a fig the whole idea of the fig tree was it took 3 years for it to bear figs. And at the end of the 3 years, it wasn't bearing figs, and so the leader, householder, said, cut it down, because it's just cumbering up the ground. But Mercy said, no, let me dig around it again and put fertilizer on it, and if it doesn't come up in another year, then we'll cut it down. Now that's the definition of mercy. Each one of us should have borne fruit by now. But the householder, God is saying, no, let me dig around it and fertilize it. Everybody understand that? Then it will bear fruit. And bear fruit there is, producer bear is this word, porio, to carry out the thing correctly and at the proper time. All right, let's go to James 3. Now, this is the mystery of the seed. It's discussed all over the Bible. It starts out in Genesis. It says kind can only produce kind. And so in James, it's right after Hebrews at the end of the Bible, verse 12, just one verse. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs? And so can no fountain both yield salt and water and fresh water. The human race cannot produce anything that's godly. It's impossible. And even with all of God's mercy over all of the time, all of the thousands of years that he kept giving us a chance, it didn't work. So his own seed has gotten him the victory. And that, remember, the Adam and Eve, their purpose, they were born innocent without self-awareness. God doesn't want innocence, he wants holiness. Holiness is tested innocence. So that's why Jesus said to you and me, and said to all of us, he said, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. And that little child, you have to return to that place of innocence where you don't judge for yourself good and evil, where you don't take a stand on all these issues. Because in that, then in that position of innocence, it's tested by antagonism. And so the innocence brings forth holiness. But you can never lean on your own arm of understanding because it's of the cursed seed. Everybody understand?
Taking the stands like what we talked about yesterday, it's getting your life from the world, and thereby you are of the world.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Revelation 13. That's too complicated. We'd spend 3 days on that one. So let's just go back to Luke 1. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. The word mercy is eleos. We're going to see that one in a second again, emphasized. Mercy, eleos, has a very definitive, special meaning. And it means goodwill to the afflicted with a desire and the ability to help. It's always the afflicted. That's why the gospel is to the poor. The gospel isn't to those who just only have a modicum of success and want to be more successful. The gospel is to those who, through the circumstances of their lives, over and over again, they found that they were unable to accomplish the thing that they desired to accomplish. That's the definition of poor. And the poor are the afflicted in God's eyes. The gospel isn't, it has nothing to do with how much money you have. That's not the meaning of poor. And I can't emphasize that enough. What?
Well, I mean, I'll just agree with that, that some of the richest people in this country are really poor because they have nothing except money.
Remember, grace always goes before mercy. We've talked about that many times. Now, mercy isn't objective. In other words, mercy will always be seen as mercy in the one to whom it was given to. This is why what we soon forget in terms of how we treat others, we forget the mercy that we were shown. And once you do that, then it wipes out all the mercy you were shown. You have to start all over again. You understand?
I don't like the wipes out.
But mercy is the act of God in an individual soul. And then peace is the fruit of that mercy. But it's not like everything else in life where it happens and then you forget about it and you shrug it off. And in every single dealing that you have with anyone, you must show the same mercy that you've been shown. Well, this is where, I promise you, the tire will meet the road. Because you will not want to do that. Because they will offend you in some way. And so your mercy was conditional. Am I reading anybody's mail?
Well, sometimes it's just convenient.
I don't know what that means. What?
It's conditional.
God's mercy isn't conditional.
Speaking about me.
Oh. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Oh, just we, this is, let's look at a few verses. We'll go to 1 Timothy. What are you thinking about, Gary?
Well, I'm thinking how everything we study is so connected to our core being, and talk quickly about things.
Quickly?
Yeah. Well, like mercy, that just thinking about that, we covered mercy in 3 minutes here. Nothing against you.
No, wait a minute. How many times have we covered it?
Oh, many times. But,
yeah.
But when it's real stuff, it just feels like I could just sit here in that mercy from now on, it feels like. But we're moving on to something else.
Well, that's what you need to say. That's why.
Yeah.
You don't have any problem saying it, but you always need to. Your reaction to anything taught is probably more important than the thing that was taught. All right, we're going to look at how this is manifested here in several scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is, or who is, our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Okay, now watch. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is that thing that it's remember, we've talked about it many times in the past, where grace is that kind of unexpected thing. Pete and I were canoeing on the Brazos. And we went to look at this place to hold next year's Pentecost. It was too expensive. We couldn't have afforded it. And so Mike says, "Well, what happened if somebody underwrote it?" And I said, "That'd be great." And so it's free. And so that was mind-bending grace to me at that moment.
Yeah.
Wasn't mercy. It wasn't peace. It was grace. I'm thinking about my mother. My mother, in this her little rest home, she lived with the patients 24 hours a day. And in each room, she had a parakeet. And it's like many of them had Alzheimer's or whatever the current dementia, whatever they had. So they forgot about stuff. Except every morning when the parakeet would sing, it would be like, "Wow, it was grace." I mean, each one of you have to be able to think about a jillion of these kinds of things. So it's grace to show the mercy, and the resultant in the recipient is this peace of God. And if you stop and think about all the times that you've been shown grace and mercy, and the fruit of that is peace, it's like, how can you ever forget it? How can you not always show mercy to those that you come in contact with? Oh, it's always unworked for.
Yes.
If it was worked for, it wouldn't be
right.
Grace.
It's that, gift.
Anybody understand that? And it defines our walk as believers. Grace, mercy, and peace. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy.
You said something about how can we forget. It made me realize that's easy because it's the gray matter that's used as the remembering device, and it doesn't want to retain this.
Well, again, as long as you give the gray matter breath, you will always forget. But God will always bring it to your mind. Bring it to your attention. All right, here again. And we could go on and on, just almost all. Okay, 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, grace, mercy, peace. Let's go to Titus. Just to keep going to a couple pages. But how many times do we read these and it just... they're just words, if you read them at all. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace. Second John. Keep going to the right for all our Bible scholars. 2 John is right after 1 John. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now, almost universally, this is Paul. I mean, John's way of saying this is to the church, the elect lady, the assembly that we're meeting there. Okay? You got it? The elder unto the elect lady and her children. The elect lady is the Seder. The children are the members of the Seder. The elect lady and her children. We call no man on earth father and no woman on earth mother, because the Seder is our mother, reflecting the New Jerusalem. God is their only father. All right. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace. These aren't light sayings. Amen.
Yeah, you're right. This is like, often we read this like skimming a rock over the water. It's just grace, mercy, peace. Let's get on to what's really going on here.
Speaking of which, I got 8 skips on our little canoeing trip.
Yeah, you're
right.
You
did. It
beat
you.
Eight.
Eight skips.
No, not. I took it for 8.
8?
Eight skips. Anyhow, grace, mercy, peace. And each one of you have known grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father. Don't forget it. And never stop showing that mercy.
I remember people coming on the block here and they would say, I feel such peace here. You know, it was like, what do you mean? It's like we swim in it, and it's calm.
It doesn't seem peace to us most of the time. There's all kinds of crap going on.
There's a lot of crap that's in the midst. And it was like, it made me realize how a lot of people don't experience this. Their life is just upside down. I can remember it too, 100 years ago.
All righty, anything else? Everybody understand perfectly? Take a big guy.